So hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning to all. Welcome to this edition of Soccer Hub Talks. My name is Ricardo Balbeira. I'm the CEO and founder of Soccer Hub. As you know, Soccer Hub deliver many kinds of content for soccer coaches, soccer analysts, soccer performance analysts. So just visit us and take a look at what kind of offer do we have. Before we start, I would like you please to click on the like button if you can hear me and see me well. So please do it now. Press the like button if everything is okay with the audio and the video. Also, I would like to ask you to introduce on the chat box a bit of information about yourselves, the country that you are based in, and also some information about your job. If you are a soccer coach, a soccer analyst, a soccer scout, a medical doctor, well, please write it on the chat box so we can have a bit more information about yourselves. And also we can adapt a bit our conversation. As you know, this is a live event, so you will be able to ask questions to our speaker. You just have to introduce the question on the chat box and I will select some so you can so I can ask the question to the speaker. Also, during this live webinar and for the next 24 hours, we'll be offering a 25% discount in all Soccer Hub courses. Okay, you just have to use the coupon code TALKS25 to get it. Either way, I will introduce all of this information on the chat box so you can have access to it. Okay, so today we are here with the Brazilian physiotherapist Eduardo Santos, head of medical department of Shanghai SIPG Football Club and former head of rehabilitation at FC Zenit. He was also responsible for recovering many top players' injuries, such as David Luiz, Hulk, Ramirez, Witzel, Mangala, Moussa Dembélé, and many, many others. For being responsible for that wonderful recoveries, Eduardo has become known as the miracle doctor. So it's a great pleasure to have him with us at the moment. So I will introduce him in a few seconds, okay? Hello, Eduardo. Good evening to you. Is everything okay over there?
Yes. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you one more time for the invitation and for the possibility to participate in the Soccer Hub. I think it is very important to share and some thoughts and chat about football.
Okay, Edu, thank you very much for accepting our invitation. For us, it's a great pleasure to have a guy such as you with such a rich curriculum. So we'll be discussing during the next 45 minutes or so some interesting subjects, not only for doctors, but also for the coaches to understand better how does work this specific thing of injury recovery, injury prevention. I know that you have many data to present to us. But before we go into more details, as you know, our audience are mostly soccer coaches. So I would like you to explain, Edu, what does a physiotherapist does in a soccer club context? What is your day-to-day work? And how does it fit in the club structure, Edu?
Okay. Ricardo, the physiotherapist normally, they're responsible for the management of the injury from the player, the prevention from the injuries, and also the return to play from the players. So we work very close, and the connection between the physios and the players are very strong because we work with them most of the time. We spend more time with them than with our families. Because before the training, they arrive there to make treatments or massage or prepare themselves for the training. If they are injured, then we need to pick up them from the day one when they are injured. And we follow them until the day of the match when they are ready for play the match in return play. So we stay a lot of time with the players. In the structure of the clubs, normally, the physio works together with the technical staff and the fitness coach, trying to make the bridge between the information that we have with the players, between the information that we have from the fitness coach and the information that we have with the technical staff. So here I work as a head of the medical department. So my day to day, normally what we do is like, for example, we make like a checklist from the players in the morning to see if they are tired, if they are injured, or if they have some fight at home. So they are not feeling well to train that day. It can happen, of course, because we not only manage the physical thing, but the mentally thing also is very important, the mental thing. So together with this checklist, with my medical team, we give the information for the coach. Coach, those players are ready for training today. If there is anything is very special or some kind of special information, we share that with the coach. And it helps us to manage that player during the training. So if that player have like some, if we saw in his data, like the GPS that he's not training very well, and we mix that information with that he's not having a good time at home or he's feeling tired every day that he comes to the training, we can mix that information and we can manage that player before he got injured. So okay, it's not perfect. Only the GPS data, it's also mixing of everything. For example.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So guys, don't forget to introduce more info about yourselves on the chat box, okay? And also don't forget that this is live, so you will be able to ask questions to Eduardo. But continuing, and before we have some questions from our audience, I'm aware, and I think it's everybody talked about it all over the world, that you were the first big transfer of a physiotherapist from one club to another. I think they talk about 1 million euros for you to be able to go to SIPG. In your opinion, why did Shanghai SIPG thought that it was worth this kind of investment, Eduardo?
Yes, this is a very good question, Ricardo, because I'm gonna explain that. Normally, when we have a lot of studies already about it, mm-hmm. If a player are injured, normally this player gonna cost for the club around 500,000 euros per month. So imagine that you buy a top car, but you cannot use it because the car is broken and nobody can fix it. So just to make a contextualization, at that time I was in Zenit and I was working there already for 3 years, and Hook, Shanghai SIPG bought Hook to be the biggest transfer at that moment in China. And he became one of the highest salary player around the world. But he played only one game and got injured. Oh. And nobody can put him back at that moment in the SIPG. Nobody can put him back playing. Together with that, they had more three foreign players that was injured. And some very important players from the staff, from the squad, also injured. So the squad availability for Shanghai at the moment, at that year, was around 69% of the players ready to play the match for the coach and for the team. So they are losing points, losing games. And of course, the club was not happy and losing a lot of money. Exactly. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So they decide to bring me and make this investment. And in 3 months, we put the squad availability for 96%. All the players, most of all the players ready to train and to play the game. The next year, 2017, we stood in second position in the league. And in 2018, we became the champions in the first time in the history of the club. Yeah. So, in my opinion, they pay very cheap for me.
Yeah, but did Zenit continue with good results?
No, they lost some games. In the table they go down, and they had some problems of injuries also. They bought one player from Brazil also that got injury. The same case, they cannot put him. And I think now after 1 year, he's just now playing back and not ready yet. So they always call me, Edu, why you left, and these kinds of things. But I have a good relationship with Zenit and try to help them with some consulting. But just to explain that we manage the patrimony of the club. So It's, I think that, in my opinion, I think now in Zenit, it's really worth it. In yes. Shanghai, it's really worth it for them.
Yeah, it's very clear that, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I had the opportunity to take a look off to some graphs that you presented, that where you show the impact of the kind of work that you have been doing and the prevalence of injuries. So can you show us a bit of the results that you've been having with your work both in Zenit and SIPG, Eduardo?
Okay, I would love to do that. Just a minute, I'm gonna open for it.
Okay.
Can you see that?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So this one was one interesting study from the UEFA, is Elite Club Injury study that all the clubs that normally participate from the UEFA Champions League, they send the data to the UEFA and they send us back the results from the all the collecting data that we had during that season. Uh-huh. And one very interesting case in that time with FC Zenit, this is the muscle injury rate. So it means that every 1,000 hours, the incidence and the average incidence of muscle injury, that's the most common injury in football, we had. So we can see that in Zenit, we became the best club there in that year with the less incidence of muscle injury rate, comparing with all other big clubs that play the Champions League. If we see the results of the muscle burden, that's very important for me because it means that the average numbers of days that the player are out when he got injured. So in Zenit, we took around 7 days to put the player back for training, almost just 1 week. Uh-huh. If we compare with other clubs, you can see that it can be like for the muscle injury, for just not, we are not talking about an ACL or something like that. We are talking about muscle injury. That's the most common injury in football.
So what's the name of the club that had 135 injuries?
yes. no, 135 days to put a player back after the injury. Yeah, okay. Yes. They don't give us the name. There is a blind study, so they just send to your club your results, but they cannot show the others. Yes. But if we see here in the 39, we can see that normally the average is 14 days, and we took 4 times less. If we see the study also in 2015-16, we had the same results there, and also with a very good number of data and days of absence, 6-8. When we go, then we change to IFC injury study that is in Asia. It's the same like Europe, the same professor that control both.
Okay.
And here in Zen in Shanghai, SIPG, we can see that our injury rate, we mean now about all kind of injury, not only the muscle injury, but we had a big difference from all other the clubs in the Asia that participate from the Asia Champions League. Mm-hmm. So we can see that our results continue doing very well. If we saw the results here, just a minute. Yes, this is the also, like I told you, the days absence every 1,000 hours. That's what's more important, because if the player are out for too long time, you cannot use him for the games or for the match. Nah? And the average days that we took in the total here is around only 9 days, is the middle one. If you compare to the Asia, 38 days. What is interesting here in this graphic and with the study that we did in Europe and also in Asia is that the results from Europe is very similar to the results from Asia clubs.
Okay.
That's why they are starting doing these kinds of injury study in both continents to understand about it. And we can see that the average in Europe was 39, and here in Asia is 38 days, normal clubs. And we always took around 4 times less. Yes, that's it.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear data. That's no doubt about it. We have here some questions already. I think I'm going to start with this one from David Fernandes. Hello, David. Thank you very much for attending. And the question is, Eduardo, what is the acceptance of treatment between Chinese and foreign players? Well, David is talking about, well, that many Chinese players are used to traditional medicine. So how do they cope with the kind of intervention that you usually do?
Hello, David, it's a very good question. Because when I came to China, I understand that they had already their own way of treatment. And when I came to the position of the head of the medical department, I cannot come here and just say, look, the traditional Chinese medicine doesn't work. We need to do everything like we do in Europe or in the Occident. We cannot do like that. So I started learning a little bit about more about traditional Chinese medicine and how they work with that. And we have already a lot of studies that shows that the traditional Chinese medicine can help a lot in the analgesia and reduce the pain from the players. So what I did, I start putting in my program of rehabilitations also the traditional Chinese medicine to work together with my Chinese doctors here. Because in this way, the Chinese player going to be happy to make my own treatments or the treatments plans that I used to give to them. And they will also be happy because they're going to receive the traditional Chinese medicine that they are used to do since they are young.
Okay.
And I also start doing that with the foreign players, with Hauk and Oscar, starting doing also the traditional Chinese medicine with them. Because it's some new thing, some new kind of medicine that you can put together in the treatment that I used to give before. So I think that is very important always to make your toolbox with more tools. Then you can help the players with more possibilities of treatment. So it was very interesting for me when I came and saw the kind of treatments that they do. And I was willing to learn and to understand that a little bit more. And of course, we need to put these in that kind of treatment together with the players that used to have these kinds of treatments. Right? And for them, they believe a lot on that. It's completely different from the Europe that they use more medicines or they use more more machines to treat. Here, they use more the needles, acupuncture, the traditional way that they use. And we need to mix both. I think it's very helpful.
Okay, I have some question about this, about the process of recover those players. Giri has a question here. He wants to go a bit more in detail. So he's asking, hello, Eduardo, can you tell me some examples how you design positional specific or player profile specific rehabilitation processes? Do you want to add something about this this subject, Eduardo?
Yes, of course. Hello, Giri. Yes, it's very interesting question also, because when you make the rehabilitation from the player, it's very important to understand the position that they play. The way that you make the rehab of a hamstring, that is the muscle from the tight that is most common injury in the football, from a goalkeeper, is different from a striker and is different from the wing, because they're going to use different kinds of speed. And they're going to use the muscle in a different kind of way. I always like to say that the treatment is very specific for every player. Even in the same position, the players, they have different kinds of biotypes. So some players have the muscle that is more short. Some players have the muscle that is more long. And you need to treat these players in the different kinds of a way. So every hamstring, that's this muscle in the back of the thigh that I have, I always like to think in a different thing. I don't like to use like protocols. Mm-hmm. Like, hamstring, we're going to do like that. Right. Shoulder, we're going to do like that. Elbow, we're going to do like that. I don't like that. I like to check, to understand, to make an individual assessment. And from that individual assessment, then we make a specific treatment for that player in that position and in the kind of ability that they need to use.
Okay, so some more questions here from my friend Miguel Barata. Hello, Ricardo and Eduardo. Eduardo, are you in charge, I imagine that he's in charge, of the GPS data, and which parameters do you consider the most important to look at? Of course, in this specific context of preventing injuries and rehabilitation of injuries. What kind of parameters do you believe that they are more important in this kind of situation?
Hello, Miguel. Yes, I'm not in charge of the GPS data. We have like a fitness coach, and I used to work with the fitness coach. For me, it's very important in my work, because we share a lot of communications and we can prevent a lot of injuries if we have these communications sharing. Communication for me is everything. So normally the fitness coach, we discuss after trains. They give me some data that we think that is important, like the kind of accelerations, and they make like a specific equation to make the loading from the player. And from that loading, we decide which player are having some, and if the player come next day with some feeling in the muscle, we see, oh, this kind of training was too heavy for him. We need to control that player and letting him rest today and make only treat him, or no, we need to push him a little bit more. So when we make the rehabilitation, even when you are doing the player, the return to playing stage, I like to use the fitness coach to help me to check this data, because we can see during that rehabilitation, how much loading we are putting in that player. Because if we put too much loading during the rehabilitation, it can be dangerous for a head injury rate. And our head injury rate at the moment is zero. We don't have head injuries from the muscles from muscle treatment. And another thing that is very important is that we need to control this loading, because some players, they are mentally different. Most of the players are mentally different, because everyone is one. Some players like to push themselves harder than they can. And other players like to need to be pushed to come to the top level of the rehabilitation. Together with the controlling of the data of the loading of the player, this number of acceleration, distance, and everything, we can see and manage that with the coach, with the player together during the rehabilitation stage, and of course during the normal day of the trainings. So I always ask the fitness coach to send me some data that they think that is not good, or they think that, look, we need to pay attention on that, like a red flag. And then they send to me, and we compare if that player are just coming every day and telling us maybe in the morning, oh, I'm tired, I'm not okay. If both of the data from the GPS and the subjective data are the same, we say this player is out. Because sometimes the GPS data shows that the player are not training too much, but the player said that he's feeling okay. Yeah. And sometimes in a different way. So we need always to compare both, in my opinion.
Okay, perfect. Another question from Marius Panic, Aidu and Ricardo. Question for Aidu: how often footballers play the game under medicine? I'm not sure if you have a graph about it, but can you give us an idea? I believe that Mario wants to ask how many times players are playing while still they are doing the recovery. I believe this is something, and maybe yeah, using medicine. So what's your opinion about this?
Yes. Hello, Mario. Normally, we don't do this kind of medicine or medication for like mask the pain here. And I it's not something that I used to do, to put like a mask in the player and let him play the game. And after, he's going to feel much, much more pain. But I think that in some clubs, it may happen, but in my opinion, but this is my opinion, I think that you increase a lot the possibility for that player to got injury or got the injury even worse. So I think that it's not some kind of practice that I suggest to do, like to give medicine for the player to train or to come back from the injury after he's not ready. If actually in nowadays, like in a muscle injury, we cannot use any kind of anti-inflammation during the process of the treatment, because the inflammation process that you have when you got injury is important for the body. So the new way of treatment, we don't use anti-inflammation anymore during the rehabilitation. So it's some kind of thing that we don't use. And here in China, even more, because they don't like to use medicine. They only use the traditional Chinese medicine or something like that, or some heating or something like cream. They don't like to use it. So it's not some kind of thing that I like to suggest.
Okay, Eduardo. So you had the opportunity to work in Brazil, I believe, and then in Holland, the Netherlands, also in Russia and in China. Did your intervention as a professional change a lot in these different contexts? Of course, you said that in China it's a bit different, but do you feel that there is a difference also between the American continent and the European? How do the players usually cope with these kind of treatments?
Yes, I believe that as a human being, we should always try to learn more. Mm-hmm. If you think that you know everything, then you don't know nothing. So that's why I love to change from Brazil, to Europe, to Russia, Russia to China. I learn it a lot more than I teach, for sure. And as I told you, I used to say that I have a toolbox, and every country that I pass, I put one more or some more tools in my box to learn. And of course, the way of treatment that you make with a Brazilian soccer player, with an European soccer player, with a Russian players, with Chinese players, it changes a little bit because the culture there is different. For example, here in China, the players are a little bit afraid to say that they are tired, because for them, they are not good enough like the European players, so they need to train more. They cannot say that, I'm tired, I'm feeling pain. They need to fight against that. So it's the way that they use, they are. So here we need to control them more and keep the eyes on them to see if maybe they are feeling pain. We need to pick up and say, look, you are feeling pain, come back inside. So it changes the way that you treat people. And that's why is what I love in my profession is that you are learning every day these kinds of way and philosophy of work.
Okay. I've seen that in the last few years, you have been working on the recovering of different top athletes. Can you explain how those athletes get to you? You know, because I imagine that some of the athletes are not players of SIGP, right? So how do the players get to you? And also, what is the treatment process? Is there a miracle that you offer to those players? Or what's the secret?
Yeah, the secret, if I tell you, will not be a secret anymore. It's a joke. But one thing, normally these players, they come to me because, the players. Knows. Yes, exactly. They share the communication between them. So you got injury from a hamstring muscle and then come back playing 15 days. And your colleague that playing another club maybe come back in 30 days or 35 days. And the players, they want to come back. And most of them, they want to come back as soon as possible because it's their profession. They want to play the game. They want to play the football. Some of them have even the pressure from the family, of pressure from the clubs, of pressure from the head coach to put them ready to play because they are very important in the system that the coach are using. So they start contacting me when they have like a special case or some player like have a big injury. It's a long time treating and nobody can put him back. Then they contact me and say, look, Edu, we need to send him to you, or the player wants to come to me to make a treatment. And then we put him back. I think one of the cases was a Portuguese from Porto, one player from Marega, that was well-known in Portugal. Everybody spoke about it, that he got like a 3 or 4 months rehabilitation suggestion. And he came back in 15 days playing the game against Roma and play 120 minutes and that thing. So it makes all the difference for these kinds of players because it can change maybe a transfer for them in the middle of the season. They can, for their career, I used to tell the players that their body are their business. They need to take care of them very well. So they start coming for me because they are looking for this rehabilitation and to come back very good.
I'm just curious. How do, for instance, you talk about Marega. I believe that Porto also have a medical department. How do they feel when a player of their teams go and work with another physiotherapist in another club? How do they feel about it? I'm just curious.
This is a very, very good question because I have a very good communication with FC Porto, and I also treated other players from other mm-hmm. top clubs from Portugal, but I cannot tell. We have a very good communication. And I also do that because I cannot treat everything. So if I have someone okay. that's better than me in shoulder rehabilitation, uh-huh. for sure, I'm going to call him and say, look, can you help me with this player? Because for me, the most important is not who treated him, but when he's ready to play for the team.
I understand that, yeah. And the
FC Porto have this understanding very well. That's why they said, look, Edu, can you help us with him? Okay, I help. And then they send back and they are ready and they win against Roma and they go to the next stage of the Champions League. That's it. Mm-hmm. So it's very important, these kinds of information. But it's a very good question, Kurt.
I have here a question from Danielle. I don't make an idea what he's talking about, but I believe you must know. So, Eduardo, what's your prevention for patomechanical injuries?
Yes. Hello, Daniel. I think that is like a little bit more specific that maybe we can speak also later with some course okay. In the future now that you are planning. But the patomechanical, it means that some player have like some injury, for example, in the knee, and this knee problem can create a problem in his spine, in the back, because the human, they are not separated. And the question is very good from Daniel, because we never treat a player, like a muscle. I treat a player. So when the player came with me with a knee, ankle, muscle, or something like that, I need to treat him, his body, his mind also, that's very important. And I used to say his soul. So we do all the player. So when he say a patomechanical injuries, it means like the player have an injury in the knee and he's having a problem in the back, or he have a problem in the back and then starting creating the problem in the foot. So we need to take care of all the chain of the player from his foot, because maybe sometimes he have a pain in the knee, and the pain in the knee is created because his foot is not in a good position. So we treat the foot, and then the knee pain goes away. It happens also a lot. Uh-huh. So I think it's very important. We need to see the player as a human being, as a whole body, not only one specific joint. Uh-huh. I hope that I answered his question.
And Eduardo said it well. If some of you want some more information, we soon will have online course with Eduardo. So with information about all of these subjects in more detail. So it's just a matter of months for the course to be available. We have here more questions. First, again, from David Fernandes. David is asking, Edu, if you don't use anti-inflammatory drugs, how do you help players with pain?
Yes. I said that we don't use the anti-inflammatory drugs when the player have a muscle injury.
Okay.
And because I believe, and we see the results, the player, when they don't use the anti-inflammation, the inflammation process that are happening there helps the muscle to heal in a better way. That's why we don't use it, any anti-inflammation drugs for players when they are muscle injuries. Uh-huh. If the player are having too much pain, we have a lot of modalities in the physiotherapy that can help him, like ice. Ice is analgesic, natural analgesic, control a little bit the inflammation, not too much, and can reduce his pain. And if he's having a lot of pain, we can use an analgesic, like a paracetamol or Tylenol, something like that. That is not an anti-inflammatory drugs, just a painkiller. Uh-huh. But normally in the muscle injury, the player can lead with that pain. Also, David, because the pain is a very important signal for me.
Okay.
If I don't see the pain of the player, I don't know if he's getting better or not. If I just give him a medication, tomorrow he say, Edu, I'm feeling very good, but I don't know if he's really good or not. So the pain is an important parameter for me to know if the player are getting better every day.
Okay, perfect. Another question from Anael. Eduardo, do you still use EPI technique? Not sure what is it, once again, but I'm sure that you know.
Yes, the EPI technique is a Spain technique that I started using from the beginning, just when they developed it, the technique in 2008 with Professor Jose Manuel Fernandez, okay. that Manuel Sanchez, that is the owner of the technique. And the ESA is one of the techniques that I use in my toolbox. And it helps a lot in the muscle injuries, in the tendon recovers also. It's not only that technique, but I also use that one for sure, Paru.
Okay, perfect. So one question. What is, you talked about the dynamic of the physiotherapist inside of the structure of a football club. How is the relationship between each other? But what is the specific relationship with the head coach? Is it close? Do you usually talk with the head coach? Or does it depend from club to club and from head coach to head coach? Is there a close relationship between the head coach and the head of the medical department?
It's a very important question because, as I said, doesn't matter if I have all the information from the player and I know that that player gonna get injured in that training. Mm-hmm. And if I tell that to the head coach and the head coach just don't care about it and then the player is injured, then we have a problem. So yeah. The communication should be very, very, very connect. And I'm very lucky that I worked with two Portuguese coaches, Vitor Pereira and André Vilas Boas. Both of them very, very close to the medical department, and they understand very well this process. Uh-huh. So they want the information, they discuss the information, they share the not only the information from the training, but the extra field information with me. So it can help me also to understand and to diagnose some problem from the player, some mental thing from the player. And that's why the information between the medical department and the technical staff should be very, very connecting, very close. And I'm very lucky to work with these two coaches that they are very, very open-minded for that. And that's why we have these fantastic results, because if I show them that we're going to have a problem, then they'll listen, then it'll be very difficult. Yeah. And they share a lot of information to me also, to my side. So that's why it's very important.
We have here one more question. It's kind of a medical consultation, so I'm not sure if you want to charge for it. But Rawad is asking, I was a pro footballer, and sometimes I used to have pain in my knees, especially when I want to jump or to make a stop and change of direction. I did all the tests, blood and other, but still no one gave an answer, and everyone said there is nothing wrong. Can you please advise the medical doctor?
Yes, Howard, I think I always used to say that because I receive a lot of messages in my social media, also Instagram and Twitter. You see that your question, as a doctor, we cannot treat a player or someone, a patient, based on only a message. To give you information, like a precise information and honest information, we should at least check you to see what is your problem and then can give you an advice. I'm not happy that I cannot help you at this moment, but mm-hmm. if you come to China or around China, let me know and I'm not going to charge you. You can come and I'm going to have a look on you.
Okay, so about this job of physiotherapist, and how do you believe that this will evolve in the future? You said oftenly that the clubs are more concerned about the injuries, because every time a player is injured, the club is losing money and is losing also performance in their teams. So do you believe that clubs will feel more and more that having good professionals in this specific area will help them out to have better performance?
Yes, I not only think about it, but I also hope about it. Okay. Because I think that the clubs, they should pay more attention for that. And the most important is together. If you make all the process, like if you make a good medical department, but a good medical department have a good communication with the technical staff. So as I said, it's not only have a good doctors, but also have a good doctors that can share the communication. Yeah. So I think that the clubs are paying more attention on that. I know because you see a lot of clubs are sending players even to China to treat with me. Uh-huh. Top clubs around the world. I had a player from Manchester United that come to China, travel from England to China. Players that travel from a lot of countries. to hear even Brazil travel all around the world to come to China to make a trip. So the clubs are paying more attention for that. And they should prepare and invest more in their medical departments, because not only putting machines there, but putting people that are ready to make this management. And then they're going to saw the results. They're going to see the results. They're going to see that the things are coming. They're going to see that the availability of the spread will be very high, not like 82, 85%. That is the average in Europe. And then they're going to have the results, because the coach, the most important for the coach is to have their players. If he has players, he can use his system to play the game. Yeah, sure. If he got a very important player injury, he needs to change maybe the system, and then he's going to lose points. And normally it happens in the end of the seasons or during the most stressful part of the season, poof, the injury comes. Then the players, they lose the thing. So I think that the clubs are paying more attention for that, and I hope that they do more investment on that, because it is very important.
And I believe also that it's usual to have a doctor in the club, but sometimes I feel that the language that the doctor uses is not the best language for the technical team to understand. Sometimes I believe that that doctor should have some football background also, so we can explain better all the details. Because even me, when I go to the doctor, and if the doctor isn't able to explain me things in detail because he talks his own language, I feel like this is not a good doctor, you know? So I believe the same as you, that the clubs should invest not only in equipments, but also in good professionals that can decode this information from the science to the pitch. And I think this is very important, and this is something that we usually try to do on Soccer Hub, to get the best knowledge of the universities, the best knowledge of science, and try to decode it to the pitch. Because sometimes the coaches, they don't understand, not because they are not smart, but because the language sometimes is very, very hard to understand.
I agree completely with you. Mm-hmm. I just would like to compliment one thing that I used to do that with the, even not with the coach, but even with my player when he got the injury. The first thing that I do is explain him very well and in the language that he can understand what is his problem. Because it's his knee, it's his muscle. He needs to understand more than me what is the problem. And then after that, we start the treatment. So I have players that come even from other clubs or around the world, like I said, that when they come to me, they even don't understand what they have. So I need to explain first that. And I agree with you that we need to have a good communication, but a communication that easy language.
Yeah. So before we go to the last question, I have one more from Paul Cardoso. Good interview. I've been hearing on how you treat players in a holistic way. This sounds a lot like a physiotherapist, which is a friend of mine, okay? And uses RPG, Global Posture Reeducation. Are you applying this method technique as well?
Hello, Paulo. I understand the way that you put the things like holistic, but actually what we do is not, when we speak that we treat a player in the mental and in the body, in my opinion, this is not holistic. This is a global view. We need to understand that he is a human and he have a brain, he have a body. We need to treat both. RPG is one of the techniques that I use it to, sometimes I use at the moment, not too much, but when, because I was professor also in Brazil from the university. So I used to teach also some kinds of these techniques in Brazil. And I like the French technique of RPG. And they also used to watch the patient in the global way. Like a pain in the shoulder can be because of his knee or the way that he walk or the way that he make his posture during the day. So they look from the global. I like to look more inside of the mental things because imagine if you are injury and you come back from an injury problem, that you got the injury and you are running for the ball, and they ask you to come back to that game to play a match, a very important match, and you need to run again for that ball in that match. Of course, you're going to be blocked and feel like I'm going to have my pain again. That's why you need to test the player and make him reproduce the same movement that he got injured a lot of times before he go to that training or he go to that match. So we also make this in a working mentality way. So that's why I like to see like that, not like witch things, no?
Okay. So my last question, it's usually is the question that I ask to everyone that I interview, because it has a connection between education and the job itself. So in your opinion, in your experience, what kind of advice or one or two advices that you would like to deliver to those that wants to work in this specific area? You have like two or three things that you want, that you may say that this essential for you to be a good professional in this specific area, Eduardo?
I always used to say that you need to study a lot. Mm-hmm. Always study a lot, but always be open mind to study. I make my graduation in physiotherapy. After I make my post-graduation in sport medicine. Then after I did one master degree in bioengineering, that is engineering. And after I did another course in psychology. So I don't focus only in the medical thing, but I always try to open the mind to understand about everything. So I think we always need to study a lot, because in medicine, the things are changing a lot. And we need to understand the patient in the more global way. So my suggestion for the ones that go to this job, be open-minded. Uh-huh. Don't think that your way is the only way. Second thing, you need to learn from the others, and you need to be willing to work together with others to help you, because then you're going to give your patient the best result. That's the most important. So that's the thing. And always be grateful to the life and grateful to the people that help you, mm-hmm. that give you the opportunity to show your job.
Yeah, it's people say that it's the giver's gain. Always give, exactly. That you will give, you will get something in return. Maybe not in this life, maybe in the next life, but we'll be waiting for that.
You're right.
Eduardo, I have here just one more question from Matias Velasquez. My question is, how far behind or advanced are the South American countries, or Brazil in particular, in terms of technology and knowledge when it comes to physiotherapy and physical training?
Hello, Matias. It's a very good question. From my point of view and what I achieved in my career coming from Brazil. In Brazil, I started as I had my own clinic there, uh-huh. and I started making my, and I was also a professor in the university from physiotherapy and sports physiotherapy. And I started receiving players, not only amateur players, but professional players that are coming to Brazil to make treatment with me there from Europe. Then I started treating in Europe, and then I moved to Europe. So what I can see that we are not far behind, but far in front of many countries in Europe and also around the world that I see. I see that the professionals from South America, they are doing a fantastic job around the world in the physical therapy way. Because one of the things that I used to say when I was professor is that the physios that come from Brazil or South America, we don't have too much tools. Like, if we want to treat a player there, we don't have like the top machines because they are very expensive. So you need to use like a TheraBand to make everything. So we have like a more creativity to do the things. Mm-hmm. You don't need to use a machine. And I used to come to some clubs that have all the technological machines, and if the machine is broken, they don't know what to do. Hmm. So we can use everything to treat the players. That's why I think the South America and the other countries, we have more creativity to work.
Okay, Eduardo, we are on 50 minutes of conversation. I believe that we could be here with this wonderful conversation for many hours. I'm sure of it. So I would like to thank you for your time, Eduardo. To share with us all of this information, practical information for all the coaches and scouts and analysts. So I'd like to thank you for your time. I would like to congratulate you for the wonderful job that you have been doing. And also, I hope that I can see you soon. I believe that we will be together soon. So thank you again for your time, and see you soon, Eduardo.
Ricardo, one more time, thank you very much for the interview and for the interest in my work. And for sure, I hope to continue our partnership with the Soccer Hub, for sure, in the future for all of them.
Okay. Eduardo, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.